Great, well, let's call the meeting to order. This safety committee meeting is brought to order at 6:45 PM to discuss the possibility of the city of Sylvania creating a designated outdoor refreshment area, or a DORA. We've had a couple previous meeting on this. I know we've had some significant conversations at various points. The general thought process associated with this is providing the consumers the opportunity to exit one of our public establishments in the downtown footprint with open container of beer or other liquor, and the potential of doing that in a permissible way, which is now not permitted by revised code. So this gives those establishments in downtown Sylvania the opportunity to utilize that service, and this is about trying to explore the potential of doing that. This is a committee meeting. For those of you who are in the public, we appreciate you coming and want to welcome all of you. At some point in the meeting, if we have enough time, I would like to hear from at least a few of you in regards to your thoughts in that way. We do have a letter from the Downtown Sylvania Association that was distributed to all members of council this past few days, and some information from Mr. Sanford as well on this. So in my mind, what I would like to get a sense of are really five things, and I'd be happy to answer or add anything to that list that other members of council may want to add to it. First thing I want to get a sense of is, does the community want this DORA? Is this something that the community will support? The second one is, if they're willing to support it, are they willing to potentially cover any ongoing expenses that may be incurred attached to the DORA? And I don't know what, if any, of those may or may not be. The third is there a sense from council that they're willing to authorize a DORA based upon what they've heard, and if so, what is the timing and duration of that? Is my understanding from conversations with Mrs. Brining in the past meeting that council has the authority to authorize the DORA for any period of time it so chooses inside the up to 150 acre footprint that we would select, and then if that is something that the council's interested in doing, what sort of timing is council interested in potentially pursuing, and then what are the next steps and assignments either to the administrative staff, to council members, or potentially to community members in regards to what are the next steps. So I would be happy to add anything to that list if any members of council believe that there's anything we need to add in that regard.
Mr. Fry, the only thing that I would ask us to think about as well, and you said it here, but you didn't add it to your list, is exactly what the footprint might be of the district. Clearly, we have up to 150 acres. I think there's some discussion about I think we need to have some discussion about what the area would encompass.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Mr. Lukey, to provide some guidance maybe to the administrative staff. I'm assuming, based upon just gut reaction, we can't cut buildings and parcels in half. We have to include an entire parcel inside the area. So if we have a large parcel that would potentially be included, that we can't take a part of a building and not the entire parcel. Is that correct? Which would obviously impact what we could have as far as our 150 acres. Because that's the limit in the revised code. Is that correct, Mrs. Brining?
And that wouldn't be my concern. My concern would be, is it going to be our central business district? Is it going to be the Redbird district? Is it going to be bigger than that? I just think we need to understand, because it has an impact on ultimately other neighborhoods, right? So residential neighborhoods that might not feel quite as supportive of this as others would be. So I think just we have to be careful about how we define it.
Sure, absolutely. Anything else from members of council they wanted to address this evening?
Well, look, I'm not on your committee, but the logistics of the whole, how it works, I think everyone needs to understand that process as far as where you can go with your cup and where you can't go, and the cleanup, how that all happens, just the logistics of the whole thing.
Okay, great. Anything else?
Cleanup.
Great. We do have a letter that was distributed from the Downtown Sylvania Association, the DSA, which, and I think everybody here already knows this, which in full disclosure, I'm a member of, a member of the Board of Directors of the DSA, and the city is an active participant in that association as well. And they wrote a letter that was signed by the president of the DSA, Scott Stampelmeyer, who, is he here? I don't see him. He's not here today. So let's kind of go to the first thing first on this list, which is, does the community want it? We have a letter here from the DSA, which includes levels of interest from the six entities that are theoretically in the downtown footprint. I know a few of them are here this evening, so I wouldn't, if I don't hear objections from members of the committee, I would invite you to step to the podium and kind of indicate which organization you're representing and provide your name, just to get a sense of your general thought process, because this was a collective letter, not an individual letter. If there's anybody who would like to speak at that, in regards to that particular thing at this time, that would be great. Yes, please. Would you anticipate, and I'll probably ask the same question of most of the, anybody else that would step up, would you anticipate that this would provide a bump in your beer revenues in regards to people wanting to come in, maybe have ordered a pizza, they're waiting for the pizza, and they grab a beer while they're there and kind of step out? We appreciate it. Thank you for your input. Any other community members that wanted to speak? Sure.
Just 1 second. So he mentioned the park that's on the corner there. Under this, beverages would be allowed in the park on the tables and picnic benches.
Mrs. Brandon? To get that included, we would have to provide a revision?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Extremely popular.
Thank you.
I'm Matt Smith. I'm with the Southwestern Bar. You mentioned an uptick in business. As a active member of the DSA, I think there would be an uptick in business. And a lot of our shops along Main Street, which is why the DSA is in support of this. We have several events that occur throughout the year in trying to generate revenue for all the businesses in the DSA. Some of you are very familiar with, maybe the Thursday event for before Christmas, when they do some of the downtown events. It will also generate cross revenue between the bars and establishments, because we've got a lot of customers who come to say, see our restaurant bar on a Friday night because Last Born Sons are performing there, but they'd like to go across the street to Inside the Fire where another artist is performing, where they can make that casual stroll. And again, like pair up with the other two establishments said, we don't even have an outdoor designated patio area. Not by our choice, by just by the way we're located within the building. It gives us that.
Just a couple points of clarification based on research we've done, and I want your feedback on whether this would change your opinion in regards to this. It's my understanding, Mrs. Brining, correct me if I'm wrong, that if your operation provided a cup of, let's just call it beer, hypothetically, to a citizen, they could walk outside, assuming that your facility was part of the DORA, but they couldn't cross the threshold of another one of one of the businesses inside that facility. So they couldn't even take that cup back into Inside the Five. So they're not allowed to cross thresholds in any way, shape, or form. Is that correct?
You're saying from facility to facility, not the businesses along Main Market Square.
Any of them. Okay. Anything inside. So basically, you could be outside, but you couldn't take it inside anywhere.
That I understand.
Okay.
Oh,
I understand. I'm not. We're going to have to discuss the garbage thing too, because that could potentially be an issue that we need to grapple with, overcomable, but need to deal with. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that DSA, as you already know, gets a lot of its revenue from. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ray. From liquor permits and the sales attached to that for the festivals. It's my understanding that these two cannot coincide. So if we had a festival, the DORA could not be in operation, or the festival couldn't sell liquor.
Right.
Correct?
No, so, beer trucks inside the DORA.
But that's only two nights a year.
Well, I understand. I'm just saying in general terms, there's a potential tension there. Right. So that. Understand. So that doesn't change your thought process. You would still be in support of it. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Mr. Bragg.
Yeah, Mr. Sanford.
Hassan, I don't know if you'd like to come up, because he's kind of the other liquor permit holder.
I did comment a little bit. I do have a question, though.
We'll come.
Come on up. We'd be happy to answer it if we can.
But again, what we've asked the other permit holders, if you'd be interested and supportive of having a door in downtown.
I think it's great for the downtown area, especially with the liquor permits. I mean, take advantage of it. That's one thing. Another thing is, I mean, you're renewing it every year. I mean, it could get very big where that one night can renew. I mean, the cost of your renewal, becomes very big. I mean, everybody said, everybody likes bar hopping. That's another thing. I think it's a very smart idea. I mean, if downtown
you're hoping to do, which is permitted in Medora, but because you do have a liquor permit, I'm not sure how that would work.
I think I'm gonna be able to answer it. From the people I talked to, and there was a question with the DSA about the cup, and what the other communities have done, in this case, it'd be the DSA would buy the cup and probably get a sponsor. That's what they did in Napoleon. Their first sponsor was a bank, and they bought 10,000 cups, and they took them to all the bars, and there's six bars in Napoleon. So that's how they set it up. And as Mr. Fry said earlier, any type of drink. So if they, what it would mean to your shop if you don't have beer, if they came in and they bought a mixed drink or a glass of wine, then they have to take it outside and they have to drink it on the street.
Of course.
And then you have to dispose of that cup before you go into any establishment.
Any other establishment. That's what I mean. I was like, if they would buy it outside, either way they're gonna throw it.
But you have to buy it inside the
bar.
And that's what Leslie was saying. You can't have the beer trucks or things selling on the sidewalk. You got to come into the place.
No problem.
They'd be training for the bartenders at each of the places.
For something like that, being a night would be worth being honestly open for dinner.
And if we decided, because one of the questions that I think some members of council are going to have in grappling with this opportunity and challenge at the same time is how much to do this, how often, how long, and what's appropriate for our community in that regard. And that's one of the things that I think we're going to have to grapple with as to those hours of operation. And that's something I know that we're probably going to have some additional conversation here about this evening. So thank you very much. Appreciate your question. And Mrs. Branning, if you could try to get some clarification on that issue, on what that opportunity may be, and communicate that back to the gentleman and members of council, that would be great.
And Mark, just a point of clarification for me. I didn't recall when we talked about this at our last meeting that this included spirits, right? I remember the conversation with beer and wine. What is our thinking about spirituous drinks? Is that in or out at this point?
Well, is it legal, I guess?
There's a number of issues, but that was new to me tonight. So where do we stand with that, Leslie?
I believe Mr. Sanford had the conversation with the employee people. I was under the impression it was only beer and wine also, but I don't know, to be honest.
So we need to get clarification on that.
Yeah.
Well, there's two parts to that. Can we do it, and do we want to do it, right? So
I know that downtown Toledo includes liquor spirits.
Okay.
Including beer, wine, and liquor. So as far as legality,
right.
It is allowed.
Okay. So that hurdle's cleared, the second
well,
one.
Well, I think the question is.
Because if you have a 10-ounce cup.
That's a lot of spirits.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That could.
I mean, not that I'm against that. You know,
fair
personally,
enough.
But.
Fair enough.
But I think.
How this does away with draft cups.
With what? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So, any other members of the community? So it appears to me that that there seems to be a significant interest from the community. I guess the questions that that we have as members of council is whether or not we're willing to move forward with something like this at this particular point in time. And I guess from the safety committee perspective, members of the committee, my general, and I'll give you my feeling first rather than make you stick your foot out first. My general reaction is that if we're going to do this, that we should start it slow, try it on a specific series of dates that are known to the community, that are known to the groups and organizations and bars that want to participate, maybe to coincide with the art walks on First Fridays, but some limited number of hours or days to see how it goes, to see how it's accepted by the community, and to understand what the challenges are associated with the logistics that Mrs. Hussman mentioned about cup disposal and those types of things. There's some signage issues that we would have to deal with, I assume. I'm going to have questions for administrative staff about that, if, depending on what the answer to this question is. So what's the thought process, first for those of you who are on the safety committee, and then for other members of council?
Mr. Fry, I think, I'm in agreement with you. I think less is more. We can add on as we move forward, but I think we should test it in some fashion with limited opportunity initially. I did have an opportunity to speak with Tim Schneider at the chamber, who was very involved in helping to set up the doors in downtown, both in the Adams Street area and in the Hensville area. And he was actually very helpful and offered a lot of insight into their process. And one of the things that he did share with us is that these, both of the DORAs were really being driven by and managed through their associations. There's a village association by Adams Street, and the Convention Bureau's downtown is really the lead in terms of driving this. Certainly council had to review it and approve it. But in terms of costs for security, costs for cups, those sorts of things, they really had those associations who took the responsibility there and were very involved in helping to fund those particular areas. So I think that'll be an important conversation for us to have. I also think that, which was of interest to me, that they did not see a particular increase of any crime or anything related to these things. In fact, they suggested that they may have been it may have been a positive. All those people out on the sidewalks seemed to actually reduce the risk because there were so many eyes out in the downtown area, so they felt like that was not a concern, and they're actually looking at how do they make sure that they have the right amount of security without having too much security. So they're visiting that right now as well. Generally, I think this is something that Sylvania should try at some minimal level, and it might be appropriate to get the feedback from all council members, of course, from the community. I think there's a public hearing required before we can actually advance anything too formal. Am I right, Mrs. Briney?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
But I think it could be helpful for us to have administration perhaps make some recommendations about what it might look like, and something that we could use kind of as a sounding board, and some direction from administration on this might be helpful.
Well, that, one of the interesting points that was some of the information that Mr. Sanford brought forward in the emailed information is that the administration has to basically provide an application, as I read it, to us as council, and then we have to act on it in a certain period of time, hold a public hearing and all that kind of stuff, based on looking at it. And that includes stuff like logistics. The public health and safety, I think, is what they categorized it under, but that was part of the plan that would have to be put forward to council for its consideration. And the footprint, obviously, would ultimately have to fall to the administrative staff to draw lines on where they think the best footprint is, and then have us review it with community input. Any other members of council have thoughts in that regard as far as duration?
I had a, he said members of council, right? Yes? My thinking is a bit of the opposite, that I don't, instead of starting small and growing, I think that it would be beneficial to start and mirror the downtown Toledo hours, and then if there are issues, we scale it back. I think that, I think a big part of this not only is getting new people to come to downtown Sylvania, but getting people that live around here to stay. Instead of, you know, it's Friday night, people that are my age, are we going to go to downtown Toledo, or are we going to stay in Sylvania? It's part of keeping people here. And I think if we're going to try to compete in that level, we should mirror their hours. And then we could even put in a stipulation that we have to review it in 3 months or whatever we decide. And if we think that it's too big to handle, we scale it back. But instead of starting small and growing, I think we should cast a wide net and see how it works. It's my opinion.
Okay.
Mr. Lucas.
If I may, I think part of what I'm hearing here is what I'm afraid might happen, which is decision making by committee. And I'm not sure, I mean, I appreciate everybody's input, but I'm not sure that when you get down to the fine tuning of something like this, that's best done in a forum like a committee meeting. And it seems to me that maybe a good outcome might be to establish a small task force of folks who in a short time frame could kind of work out the details that you're talking about, Mark, and bringing a recommendation to council. Otherwise, you know, we'll be going back to the law director a half dozen times with different questions. We'll be kind of going back and forth about the timing. So not to co-opt any prerogative that the chairman has, but, you know, it would be great to maybe consider a member of council, a member of the administration, somebody representing the establishments, somebody representing the neighborhood, maybe somebody representing the business association separately, the non-establishment group for that, to kind of work out the details. That said, I think this is a great idea. I'm for it. I think the devil is in the details, right? I have learned after sitting here for 16 years that it's hard to take something back. Once you do it, it's hard to take it away. And so I guess I'd be more inclined to start with a reasonable trial run for next summer, starting or next year, whatever. What would that include? Well, I think it definitely, in my mind, include the Thursday, Friday, Saturday situation, right, which are the nights that I believe most people go out and want to have a good time. It certainly would include our Friday night events, you know, the art walks. I think it should include some other special events if it's not against the code, right? Probably not the fall festival, but certainly the art festival and some of the weekend activities that we have. All of that could be determined, but I think I sort of come down in the middle. I don't think that we should be highly restrictive, but I think we have to be concerned about how aggressive we are in the first year. The biggest concern I have, and I certainly appreciate the business aspect and the recreational aspect of people coming downtown and having a good time, is that unlike downtown Toledo, this is not solely an entertainment district, right? It's a business district, and it's very, very close to some residential. So we have people living a block away who are raising little kids. We have people who are living a block away who have lived in their neighborhoods for 30 or 40 years, and they want their neighborhoods to be quiet. And I'm not saying that, in fact, we are going to have any problems, because I don't think we are. But I think the perception might be that this is going to change the lifestyle in those residential neighborhoods. So I guess I'm advocating for taking sort of maybe a two-step approach. Do it in the first year in a way that's generous enough so that the establishments can benefit from it, but restrictive enough that if we have to limit it to those times, we're not, you know, we have the ability to do that too. I mean, I'm not suggesting that we do marry what I think the people in downtown Toledo are doing now, which is having it be from 10 in the morning until 2 at night or 1:30 at night. And that's a little aggressive, right? But rather than trying to work that through here, I think that we might get to a solution quicker if we just put together a task force of folks who could kind of work that through and come back to us next time and offer up a specific set of recommendations.
Well, my thoughts on this are, I'm pretty close to you, but maybe closer to Patrick. I'm thinking weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoons.
Sure.
Until 6 or 7. Sure. Starting the, late afternoons on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday, noon. Yeah. Sunday, noon, ending earlier. Something like that. In terms of, and then the thing I'm kind of wrestling with is, whether this is a seasonal thing or a year-round thing. And the other thing that I think we need to know is what our downtown business community, other than our licensed operators' view of this. It would be, I would like to know that they were not opposed, at least, and that there'd be some support there for this approach, because obviously, if we do this, we're going to put, we're going to impose some degree of burden on shop owners in downtown who are going to have to police the, you know, people walking on the streets with a cup and walking into their establishment to look at art or do something else, because as I understand it, that's not permitted. So, you know, we're going to necessarily, there's some degree of inconvenience there, and I'd like to have some input from those folks as well. But generally, I think it's an interesting idea, and I'm probably for a more expansive time frame than just a few isolated dates, a few isolated events.
Frighteningly, Doug, you and I agree on this. I think that that's...
I tell people all the time, it's amazing how much I agree with Mark Lukey.
Yeah, right. Probably ruined my reputation there, right?
Mine too.
Maybe the most significant issue here, because I think it affects directly some of our establishment owners, is the spirits issue, right? I mean, I think when we talked last time, beer and wine is sort of, I don't want to say a no-brainer, because it's not a no-brainer to everybody, I guess. But when you start talking about mixed drinks or shots or whatever, that changes the tone. Not so much in reality, because I don't know that that is a change in reality, but I think the perception of the community. So I don't have an opinion except to say that we should give that some serious thought and maybe do some investigation about what other communities are doing.
Mr. Hannum, thank you, Mr. Lukey. Mr. Hannum, you brought up a comment about getting feedback. I do have some feedback. I was at a DSA board meeting. I know Mr. Sanford was at a general DSA meeting and provided some information, so he may have some input on this as well. But at a DSA board meeting last week, some of the other establishments that have places downtown, they seem to be pretty positively inclined towards it in general. I know some of those people are here in the room this evening as well. So, but that doesn't represent everyone. So the question that I would have for you is, in this regard, when, assuming we move forward with this at some level, when we do this, I think the zoning issue type of thing, because this is zoning, it's not zoning, but it is sort of zoning in that way, we would need to notify everyone who is inside that footprint and everybody who's nearby that footprint. I would think that would be prudent of us to get make sure that they're informed of what is happening potentially here.
Yeah, my expectation would be once we established a footprint and the general approach that we were going to propose, we would have a really nice public hearing specifically for the purpose of taking comments on the proposal.
Right.
And it would only be after that we had that input that we could tweak the proposal or go forward with it or drop it. But, you know, I think... I got to admit, I have I'm a little more libertarian than some. I think this is pretty, I mean, this doesn't offend me at all, or I don't have any reservations about it. But I know the world doesn't view things as I always do, and I guarantee you there are people in this community that will not think favorably of this. And I would like to, you know, I want to know how big of that part of our community is. Like, I certainly want to hear from them before we make a final decision.
Well, and Doug, that's my concern, is that I think we have one shot to get this right, because once we take it to a broader public, we are going to hear from the naysayers and the people who are concerned. And so I think we have to be very thoughtful, Mark, about what we present here. A comment by any one of the council members is not the proposal, right? It's a comment. So I think we have to get to a point where we say this is the concept that we want to bring forward to the community and have it be pretty well buttoned down before we take it to zoning and that sort of thing. I do have a little bit of a disagreement with one of the individuals who spoke about making it just the two blocks of Main Street. I really see, and this is going to make all of you who are trying to make your living running establishments not happy, but I really think that everybody benefits if we can create enough energy out of this thing to have other people want to come in and start their own businesses here too, right? If we can go from the four or five that we have to six or seven, and you're not competing with each other, there are different concepts that may or may not be on Main Street, but maybe off Main Street or across Monroe or whatever. I think that's where Sylvania needs to be headed, right? Or is to have a whole community of eating and drinking establishments that get along with each other and don't compete with each other. And, you know, if I can't get into inside the five, I'll go down to Sidebuster and have a beer first and then come back, you know, that kind of thing. And so that, to me, would be an outcome. So I would encourage us, as we put together the district, to make it a little bit bigger rather than smaller.
Mrs. Kemp.
You mean later?
As a general concept, I think that we should keep it simple. I mean, if you say only on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but not Thursday, Tuesday, and Monday, and then somebody comes in on Wednesday and they want to take a beer outside, then they're mad.
Well, okay, but people get that, Katie.
You just want to keep it simple. So, I mean, sometimes people can't even remember that Red Bird is on Thursday, Friday. I mean, it doesn't seem that complicated, but you'd be surprised. I think we need to just keep it simple.
Meaning what, Katie?
Meaning
every day,
same time of day,
every day,
not complicated,
and
we don't need to over-engineer it.
So we have a wide range of opinions on this.
And I haven't even told mine.
Right, I can, and I'm dying to hear yours, Sandy.
I bet you are.
I am.
Well, Mrs. Hussman, you're the only member of council that hasn't weighed in at this point, so we have a couple of minutes here, so feel free, and then I'm... Okay, fair enough. Go ahead.
I'm gathering information. That's the way I do it. I keep gathering information until I come to my own consensus up in my brain. I need to know, and I don't know if we have the answer to this yet, in the letter that we received from the Downtown Sylvania Association, it mentions the historical village. And since I sit on that board, and I would like to know why, number one, that's in the letter. Do we envision that that's going to be a drinking spot, that people are going to go in the Sylvania Historical Village and drink? Is that why that's there?
I didn't craft the letter.
Okay.
So
Scott isn't here, so we can't ask him.
Right, I understand.
I don't know. That's
and perhaps that's to Mr. Lukey's point, which is
my guess is you couldn't do it.
That was my thinking.
I think the Historical Village is not having a liquor permit.
Right.
I don't think you can gather up there.
But if it was inside the footprint, could you walk around through the village potentially?
Well,
it gets to the point where there seems to be interest from the community and from the potential participants. There appears to be interest by members of council to initiate something in this regard. Mr. Lukey's put forward a reasonable thought process, which is rather than having us sit here and toss darts back and forth and try to figure out all of this in a meeting in the next 5 or 6 minutes, perhaps that's a little ambitious, and maybe we should create a subcommittee with representation from the community, from one of the establishments, from the DSA, from the greater community at large, from a member of council, administrative staff. And perhaps a person from outside the community.
A neighbor
in the community.
Fence line neighbor, right.
Was that the list, Mr. Lukey?
I think so.
Thoughts from members of the committee
well,
in regards to that?
The rest of Sandy's comments.
Well, I thought that was it. I'm sorry, Sandy. My apologies. I cut you off on your 2 minutes.
Well, that's one of my major concerns is where can the people walk? If they can just walk within the established territory.
Yes.
That so if the village is not the established territory that wouldn't come in. Now, the park we talked about as a possibility.
We don't own that.
Right, that's, so we, that might be tricky too.
That's going to be very tricky.
Okay.
Well, I don't know either.
Yeah, okay, so that's just my thinking. I mean, they can walk, it sounds like, walk up and down the street.
Yeah, except.
Be in a parking lot, no, yes?
If it's inside the footprint.
If it's inside the footprint.
Okay, but I have a counter perspective on that. I think if we're going to do, if we, the city of Sylvania, is going to do this, we need to do everything we can to make sure that it is an optimum experience for our visitors.
Right, that's
okay.
What I'm,
so what I'm saying is, I'm not content to hear you say, Mrs. Brining, that we can't do it in the park. I would like to see us approach the folks who own that property and see if we can get them to agree to do it in the park. I'm not sure if it's a state law that says we can't do it in the historical village. Okay, I get that. But if it's a city ordinance, I'd look at the upside and downside of having people sit on that property. It's a beautiful location. Mm-hmm. On a June evening to go in there and sit, you know, and enjoy a beverage, I think would be a draw. So if we're not going to look at it as an enhancement to our downtown, I'm not sure that it's going to be successful. Right, to have a bunch of people walking around with drinks is fine, that's great, but when you're a vintage gentleman like myself, you like to sit and enjoy the downtown and enjoy a drink, and you know, so I think we have to really come to some agreement about the level of commitment we want to make to have this be successful.
And, I agree. I'm not saying I agree.
I don't think for a minute it diminishes the positioning of the village to be able to do this. I mean, it's not going to be when the school kids are visiting. It's not going to be when the programs are going on. So I want us to think about this in the most innovative way we can in order to make it successful.
Thoughts from members of the committee regarding Mr. Lukey's creating a group of people to come back to city council and administrative staff with an actual recommendation on specifics?
Mr. Fry, if I could ask
Mr. Mayor,
and I'm not saying who's doing this. Listening, these are the steps that need to be accomplished by your committee, by city council as a whole, by administration. Prepare a map, prepare the rules and regulations, prepare a calendar for a decision that's every day. Review all with city council and with the business owners, revise it and change it so that we can agree upon it, schedule and hold a public hearing, receive that public input, revise the proposal, and then put it to a vote of city council. Those are the six steps that you have in front of you, as I see it. Mr. Lukey's idea of establishing a committee with a member of the administration, we can supply a member of the administration behind you. I am challenged to decide who of city council gets to be on this committee because we've gone the full gamut of what the possibilities are. You may need to have two, one from each side or something like that. And then I'm sure that volunteers will step forward to be on the committee as well. But this is not a short procedure. There's a lot of work to be done, a lot of agreements.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for the comment and the creation of that checklist. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it does make sense that we create this committee. I don't know that this is on a short path. Obviously, we're coming into weather that isn't necessarily as conducive to have people outside in our area as what it might be, given the time frame that we're looking at. We may in fact be looking at sometime early next year before this could be initiated and to get all this stuff put together. I guess mechanically, Mayor, I would ask you for thoughts as regards to, I mean, is this a formal committee that needs to be set up? Is it an ad hoc committee in administratively? And what experience do you have in regards to setting something like this up on other matters?
Because you're including
members are on it, or get an idea of who wants to participate in it. There are some starting points, obviously, 150 acres, you can start with that, and somebody can take a map and just start drawing on it.
Right.
There are rules and regulations that are in this handout tonight for old billiards. Mm-hmm. This is a really good place to start. And by the way, it does allow liquor and mixed drinks, and has two size cups, 10 ounces and 16 ounces.
Cool.
And it says...
That's a big martini.
And they're also saying that you're not just going to have printed cups, you're going to have stickers to put on the cup that says, we sold it tonight. This is not a cup that you can use again tomorrow night. There are stickers that are going to go on it. Somehow it's smart. You can do it with a marker or something. But I think that's a place to start with the rules and regulations. The calendar is a big one. I'm not sure where you go with that. I just heard somebody say that, you know, we're not going to have this when the kids are at the historic village. So if you start at noon, kids are going to be in the historic village. No doubt about that. That's when they're there. So figuring out the times and the date will be a challenge. But these are all surmountable issues. You just need to come together. This is how new things are created. You need to have the right people on the committee that are going to be able to find middle ground and to make something that city council can approve. And for city council to approve it, all those people that come to the public hearing may say, I don't like this part of it, or I don't like this part of it. Maybe they all go home saying, well, it's not perfect, but it's okay. That's what you're going to end up with.
So do we need to pass actual legislation to create an ad hoc committee?
No.
Okay. But that has to be in a city council meeting?
I would think you would do it as a part of your
report and make a motion.
You can move your report up in the agenda if you want, or you can take the time through the meeting to take it through.
Right.
But it could just be a motion to create an ad hoc committee, including members of the administration, city council, the liquor permit holders, and other downtown businesses and neighbors.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to make that a motion for the committee to recommend to council.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those on the committee in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And with that, I would like to thank everybody in the community that sat in this evening. We appreciate your input and interest in this matter. And obviously want to welcome input from you all as this process continues to move forward. And obviously, as members of council, we work for you and other citizens in the community. So we'd love to hear from you directly as well. Feel free to reach out to any of us. And unless there's any business come before the safety committee, I make a motion that we adjourn. Do I have a second? Do I have any further discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. We are adjourned at 7:33. Thanks, everyone.